I'm very much happy to be with all of you this morning and very much honored to speak in this historical place of Prabhupada's glorious pastimes. And I will speak a few minutes about this very important topic, which is described in all details in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. First, I will give some little introduction to understand the circumstances under which these verses were spoken. After the Great War, Maharaja Yudhishthira was despondent. He felt terrible pain because wherever he would go, he would feel the smell of burning bodies. From everywhere he would hear the cries of widows. It was a terrible thing, you know, and he was a soft-hearted person. He was a devotee. And devotees are generally soft-hearted, and Yudhishthira was particularly soft-hearted. And even though he was... different people were trying to pacify him. He didn't want to be pacified. He was blaming himself that he is the cause of all this massacre. And that's nature of a devotee. Devotee doesn't want to blame others. And devotee, he takes responsibility upon his shoulders. Other people, they very easily give the responsibility to others. They say, he is guilty and she is guilty and, you know, so many others are guilty. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong. But Yudhishthira, as a true devotee, he was saying, I'm wrong, everyone else is right. And actually, Krishna, who was arranging this Leela, or Yogamaya for Krishna, who was arranging this Leela, added to his sufferings. In Mahabharata, it is described that when Yudhishthira was about to be coronated, there was a grand ceremony arranged, and the brahmanas were chanting mantras, and he was supposed to enter the city. And it was a very, you know, very glorious event. Pandavas were going behind him, and somebody, Bhima, was holding the white umbrella as a sign of royal, position. And Arjuna was there, and Arjuna was taking his reins of his chariot. And Nakula and Sahadeva were behind him, and they were waving chamaras. So it was a glorious event, and he was about to enter Hastinapur, and brahmanas were chanting all these mantras, you know, there was the whole vibrant atmosphere. And then all of a sudden, a demon disguised as a brahmana by the name Charvaka, who was a good friend of Yudhishthira, of Duryodhana, stepped out of the crowd. And he said, addressing Maharaja Yudhishthira, that I was appointed by all these brahmanas to speak to you the truth. You think you did a great deal? You won the war? I will tell you the truth. You are the murderer. You killed all these people without any reason. And he started saying this, you know, as brahmanas could say. And, you know, everyone was amazed. And Yudhishthira said, you're right. You are actually right. I'm wrong. And he started crying right there during this auspicious ceremony. The brahmanas, they became very indignant. And they started cursing this Charvaka. And Charvaka, you know, fell dead because of the curses of brahmanas. But it didn't help Yudhishthira because Yudhishthira, he took it seriously. He didn't deny it. He didn't say yes. He was not defensive at all. And that's also one of the reasons, one of the characteristics of a devotee. Devotee, he takes the blames of others very seriously. It's one of the rules of the etiquette of a devotee. If somebody blames you, you should never defend yourself. You should never defend yourself. You should never become defensive. And Maharaj Yudhishthira was like this, and he said, yes, you're right. So the whole ceremony was spoiled. This whole grand ceremony was totally, completely spoiled. And Maharaj Yudhishthira went to his room and he started crying. And then one after another, first Arjuna came. And Arjuna started saying, you know, you remember all these injustices which were done to us, this and that. And Maharaj Yudhishthira said, no. I'm not going to be consoled so easily. And Bhima came, and Bhima was, you know, he said, this is useless, you know. You're always this getting into this emotional outfits, which are really not proper, you know. Bhima was trying to push him. It didn't work. Nakula, Sahadeva came. Vyasadev came. Vyasadev started speaking from the Shastra, and he was trying to give him Shastric outlook of what happened. Yudhishthira could not be consoled. And then Krishna himself came. And Krishna was trying to give him some advice. Yudhishthira couldn't hear him. And of course, that was arrangement of Lord Krishna himself. He, from within the heart of Maharaj Yudhishthira, didn't allow him to listen his advice because he wanted to glorify Bhishmadev. He wanted to bring Yudhishthira to Bhishmadev and make Yudhishthira hear what Bhishmadev has to say. So when they came... Actually, this conversation between Bhishmadev and Maharaj Yudhishthira is the biggest part of Mahabharata. Many people think that Mahabharata is about war. But the biggest parva of Mahabharata is called Shanti Parva. So it's about peace. And Bhishmadev, very elaborately, for 2 months, every day he was giving lectures to Maharaj Yudhishthira, trying to console him and to explain him what is the duty of the king and what is the reason of all this. And basically in Mahabharata, Bhishmadev gives 4 reasons. I will tell this a little later. So when they came, all the sages assembled to be witness or to listen this conversation between Maharaj Yudhishthira and Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev, when he saw Yudhishthira, when he saw Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, and Krishna, he became very emotional. He started crying. And he was trying to pay his obeisances to Lord Krishna, who was behind everyone and who was smiling. Because Krishna knew that now he will say something which will pacify the broken heart of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Anyways, so what happened? He starts speaking now. And he first says, Aho kashtam, aho nyayam. What a terrible thing happened. What injustices you have undergone. And he's wondering himself, Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashrayaha. You said, you are Dharmanandana, you are the sons of religion personified, and moreover, you are protected by the Brahmanas, by Dharma, and by Achyuta, God Himself. According to the rules of Dharma Shastras, if somebody is following Dharma, he cannot undergo sufferings. It's very clearly said in Dharma Shastras that if somebody is pious, if somebody strictly follows Dharma, then he will get only happiness, right? This is a very simple and straightforward statement of Shastra. If you want to be happy, you have to follow Dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshita. You know, if you follow Dharma, Dharma himself will protect you from all the sufferings. And Vipra, Brahmanas, good people, pious people, if somebody takes shelter of them and takes their association and advice, what is the question of suffering? You know, you will be on the right track because you are in the right association and a good association. You will be happy. And Achyuta himself, here Bhishmadev says that you took shelter of Achyuta Ashraya, and he says still you were suffering. So the question here, of course, Prabhupada explains that Bhishmadev is trying to console by this statement, but also he was wondering why Pandavas were suffering. If they were protected by Brahmanas, by religion, by Achyuta himself. So, the simple answer which Bhishmadev is hinting in this verse is that Krishna is behind this. Otherwise, there is no reasonable explanation why they were suffering. Of course, in our case, you know, to be honest with everyone, we may not be that pious all the time. At least before we became a devotee. So we can explain our sufferings because of our impious activities. And Brahmanas, I don't know if we really took shelter of Brahmanas, and there's not many around anyways. And Achyuta Ashraya, that's also a big question in mind, whether we really took shelter of Krishna or not. But at least in this particular very clear cut case of Pandavas, they were really pious. They never committed any sinful activities in their life. They were always taking advice of Brahmanas, so much so that even when they went to forest in exile, they had so many Brahmanas around them. You know, there were hundreds of Brahmanas there. They were feeding all these Brahmanas every day. You know, they didn't want to leave the association of Brahmanas even in the forest. They were living there with the Brahmanas, and Yudhishthira was always, you know, talking with the Brahmanas because he had this nature. And of course, Achyuta was right there, right on the spot, and still they were suffering. Sometimes, you know, we have this mentality which is very strong, that since I became a devotee, I shouldn't suffer, right? It's somewhere there, you know, I'm a devotee, you know, why I'm suffering? Sometimes we come to Krishna and say, you know, Krishna, something is wrong in your arrangement. Perhaps you didn't notice my great devotion, you know. Why is it? I'm trying to take shelter of you. Why do you send all these terrible things in my life? Like recently also, I was giving some seminar and I was talking about taking shelter of Krishna and that you should come to the Lord and you should say, you know, Krishna, I'm yours, I belong to you. So immediately there was a question. One lady is writing a question. She says, I did this. I came to Krishna. I was so sincere. I told Krishna, Krishna, I'm yours. And immediately I felt so much happiness within my heart. But then, what happened then, I cannot even describe. So many terrible things started happening in my life. Even my parents do not allow me to chant Hare Krishna mantra anymore. And she said, was I not sincere at that time? So answered. Parents of Prahlad Maharaj also didn't allow him to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Does it mean that he was not sincere? So, this very notion that as soon as we become devotees, we should be totally free from suffering, actually is the sign of insincerity. This notion is the manifestation of our Sakam mentality. The ideal of pure bhakti is we should become Nishkam. And Nishkam means we want happiness of Krishna. And Sakam means we want happiness of whom? Yes, we are devotees, we are Sakama Bhaktas, we are Bhaktas, but we are Sakama Bhaktas. We want happiness of whom? Of ourselves. You know, Krishna is there. He's happy anyway. Why should I bother about his happiness? But we have to be practical. We do so much tribulations and so much austerities, you know. We get up so early, you know. This is a great austerity. And we chant all these mantras, you know. For what? There should be some practical reason for this. And this practical reason is what? Our own happiness. And that's Sakam mentality. And therefore, when something wrong is happening to our life, and, you know, inevitably something wrong will happen in our life, I can tell this with a great authority because I have, you know, I have been a so-called devotee for 30-plus years, and Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So many wrong things is happening all the time. In fact, nothing right is happening in my life. Only wrong things are happening. Only things which we would not normally expect. So this whole section of... And here, Bhishmadev initially, he's wondering. He is exclaiming with a great feeling, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. How unjust it is. How unfair it is that these things happen with people who are totally righteous, totally protected by Dharma and religion and good association and even a tutor himself. But he will not stop at this point. He will go explaining why these things really happen. So in Mahabharata, he basically gives four reasons. While explaining to Maharaja Yudhishthira why these things are happening to people, he gives four reasons. And here he actually, the first reason he will state in the verse number 14. Sarvam kala kritam manye. In my opinion, the soul behind this is kala, time. The reason is time. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, while explaining this statement of Bhishmadev, says that he is kind of playing along with the common mentality of people. We know this reason, we sometimes employ this reason to explain why it happened to this person or to that person, and we say, you know, this time. Very often we say Kali Yuga. You know, is the reason of all the problems which we have. Kali Yuga, right? Kali Yuga Prabhu, what can we do? It's Kali Yuga. Oh, Kali Yuga Mataji, what can we do? So, and this is the first reason and the first explanation which kind of comes to mind. Why does it happen? You know, it's happened because, you know, what can you do? There is this time. And that's a good explanation because you don't have to blame anyone and time, you know, time will not get offended at you. So basically, this is the first trick which you can employ to explain this. Oh yeah, it's time. Okay, what can you do? But really, it's not an explanation in reality. Because what is time? You know, by saying time, time is the common cause. Nyaya explains different causes of different events. And there are some general causes. And time is one of them. General cause means it's not a specific cause. Yes, it's a cause. There is some kind of causal relationship. Yes, time is passing, and because of time, it's happening. But it doesn't explain anything. If you just say it's time, it's just you feel little good. Yes, time, what can you do? But it doesn't really give explanation. So Bhishma Dev in Mahabharata, he goes further. He gives four reasons, as I said. He said that the second reason, which if we consider all these bad events which are happening with us in our life or in the lives of other people, the second reason is svabhava. Svabhava means our nature. If we really get a little deeper in the understanding of cause and effect relationship, we will understand that all the events which are happening with us are more or less manifestation of our inner state of mind. We more or less attract all these events. You know, and when we try to blame others, really, you know, like there is a saying, if you point your finger in one direction, there are three fingers pointing in the right direction upon yourself. If you try to blame somebody and say he is guilty, ultimately it's you. Ultimately, you have a specific nature, and this specific nature has an ability to create specific situations which actually you wanted. Ultimately, the world is a big mirror. And you have a certain nature, and you attract all these people and all these situations and all the problems you attract. You know, sometimes people, you know, in the middle of problems, they started blaming something. But, you know, ultimately, very often it happens that without problems, we become bored. Really, if there was no problems in our life, we would become terribly bored. And, you know, subconsciously, we started creating these problems so that there would be some excitement in our life. Very often, it is the case with us. Why all these things are happening to us? You know, and if there is no problem, the life is kind of boring. So, Bhishma Dev is saying that svabhav, this is your nature. And if you examine very minutely your nature, how your nature works, how your mentality works, you know, what is the interaction between other people, and, you know, how you react to all these interactions, you will understand all these things, you are the cause of it. But again, this is not deep enough understanding, because then the question is, okay, right, I am the cause of it. But why am I as I am? Why it is? Why my nature is like this? Why my nature is not different? You have the right to ask this question. You know, okay, right. All these problems, I'm guilty. But why? Why I'm like this? Why I'm not different? There are some other people who are different. Why I'm not this nice, peaceful, brahminical guy? Why I'm wild, rajasic person? So the third reason which Bhishma Dev gives, and we all know this reason, which ultimately doesn't explain much either, karma, prarabdha. You know, this is the third reason that this is prarabdha. And there is a long story in Shanti Parma where Bhishma Dev is trying to explain this to Yudhishthir, this probably famous story, you might have heard it, story about Gautami, a Brahmani widow who had a little son. And she was, all her life she was worshipping Thakur. She was worshipping the deity. And she had little son, and son was only 10 years old. And what she did, she asked the son, "My dear son, please go and pick some flowers for my Thakur's puja." And the little son, just imagine, because sometimes when we hear in a very superficial level, but just imagine the situation. She's an elderly lady. She has no protector. She has a little son who is only 10 years old. She's worshipping the Lord every day, and she's sending her son to pick up flowers to do puja for the Lord. And the son goes to the bushes, and the black cobra is crawling and biting the son, and the son fell dead. He fell dead. Just imagine this. You know, what a terrible thing happens. You know, and she didn't send him to do some sinful activities. He was sent to pick some flowers to worship the Lord. And the snake bit him, and he was dead. So what happened next? The Bhishma Dev is telling this story. One hunter was there, and hunter knew mantras to spell the snakes, to put spell upon the snakes. So the hunter saw this and he became very emotional. And he chanted the mantra and he took the snake and put it in a basket. And he took the dead body of the son and came to this poor lady. And he placed this dead body of the son and he said, "I have the culprit of this in my basket. What will I do with this snake? We can put the snake into the fire and you will see how the snake would be just, you know, burning in the fire. Or I can just cut the snake into pieces. You will get better, I promise you." You know, this lady started crying and wailing and he said, no problem, we will do justice to the snake." And this poor lady, she asked, "Will my son become alive if you do this?" He said, "No, but you will get a little better because you will be consoled." She said, no, "I'm not going to do this. I'm not going into this trip, you know." But he was pushing this point, you know, "Please do this, I know, because why you're crying then? You know, if you're so peaceful and if you're, you know, so composed, why you're crying over the, you know, you will get better. I know this is human psychology. You know, when you see that some justice is done to the snake, you will become better." The lady was against it. And then the snake started saying, snake said, "You know, I'm not guilty. You know, I have my master. My master, the death personified, told me to kill him. I'm just doing this." And this hunter said, no, "This is wrong. You know, you like to do this. Therefore, you were doing this." So there was a long conversation. And then the death came. And death came, you know, "What can I do? It's time. Time is pushing me." You know, and ultimately, you know, they said karma. And ultimately, Bhishma Dev says karma. Karma, this is a common explanation. But again, we know in case of devotees, there is no karma. It is said, when you chanted one time holy name, there is no karma. Right? No karma. There is a story in Ramayana, in some of the versions of Ramayana, that once a king came to king kill a cow, and king was trying to absolve his sins, and he came to one rishi, and he asked, the rishi was not there, and his son was there, and he asked the son, what shall I do to get rid of this sin? And son said, you just chant three times Ram's name, and there will be no sin whatsoever, no consequences you will suffer, no problem you will undergo. And the king was, he has become very happy. He said, yes, Ram, 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 Ram. And he chanted a few more times, just in case. And then he met the rishi. Rishi was coming back, and he was very happy. So rishi asked him, what happened? He said, your son is so smart. He gave me the, you know, the means to purify myself from the sin. He said, I should chant three times the name of Ram. And the rishi became very angry at his son. He said, this son is an atheist. He's a complete atheist. He doesn't believe in the power of the holy name. He said, you should chant holy name three times, whereas only one time is enough. The rishi, he banned his son. He said, you know, get out of here. I don't want to have this bad association of yours because you don't believe in the power of the holy name. So there is no karma. What kind of karma it is? You know, we chant it so many times. Every day we chant so many times. So what is the question of karma? There is no question of karma. So, and of course, Bhishma Dev, in his explanation, very tactfully, he will say, it's all Krishna. But why Krishna? What is the reason why Krishna is doing this? And how Krishna's love manifests through this? And how you can understand the plan of the Lord behind everything which is happening in your life? This is what Bhishma Dev will be explaining. Ultimately, yes, we know the answer. Ultimately, we know the answer. The answer is kind of, I mean, it's a difficult answer to swallow. Why the bad things happening in the lives of devotees? Why devotees suffer? Why sometimes they suffer terribly? There is only one answer. It's Krishna. It's Krishna himself. But here in this series of verses, there will be six or seven verses after that, Bhishma Dev, he explains how we should understand the plan of the Lord behind everything which is happening in our life. Ultimately, yes, we know the answer. But sometimes we just cannot digest this answer. This answer is, I mean, it's just, sometimes it's very difficult. When you say karma, it's okay. Karma is okay, yes. Yes, karma, right. But ultimately, when it comes to the devotees, it's not karma. It's the personal, merciful involvement of Lord himself. And how we should reconcile with everything which is happening in our life or in the lives of other people who are around us, that's a big question. And Bhishma Dev will be explaining this, and I will try to explain this tomorrow whenever I have chance for this. That was a little introduction to this. I already gave the right answer, but I know that this right answer is a difficult answer. And how to understand this answer, that this is the personal involvement of the Lord, and that's important. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's it. Thank you very much.